I believe everyone likes to be a winner. I don't know of anyone here this morning that likes to lose at anything, whether it's a board game or playing cards or some other activity. We just don't like to be on the losing end of things. I don't know about you, but I think all of us want to be winners. If we're on a sports team, we want to be the one that wins whatever sport we're playing. We don't like to lose. And that's natural in life. And we read in Revelation 15, verse 2, about the saints who are victorious over the devil. They're in heaven. They win. We just got through singing in our songbook, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. When we obey Jesus and exercise our faith, we're winners. In the scripture reading around the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 15, Matthew read that we have victory in Christ. Our theme this morning is victory. And I want us to consider this morning the importance of being converted to Christ and living a faithful Christian life. And when we do, we are victorious. I want to talk this morning about the steps of conversion, and I want to talk about the importance of living a faithful Christian life, but under the theme of being victorious. Because each of these steps along the way is a battle, and you're either a winner or a loser. Either you win or the devil wins. And so I want us to think this morning about the importance of these battles and these engagements that we have. And I want us to think this morning about the importance of winning or losing. And just like that we don't like to lose any game that we're engaged in, we would rather win. We need to be thinking about with regard to the devil this morning. We're in a contest with him. It's not a physical battle. It's not a physical contest. It's a spiritual battle for our soul. Either the devil is winning or we're winning. Are you victorious this morning? Are you winning or are you losing? Who is winning the battle for your soul and for my soul? At the end of time, will it be victory or will it be defeat? We have a lot of encouragement in the New Testament. There are a number of passages that encourage us to be on the winning side. The Lord wants us to be on the winning side. We already read 1 Corinthians 15 in our reading around the Lord's table. And Michael had Revelation 15, verse 2. They came off victorious. They're in heaven. And there are a number of other passages Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and 38, that we are more than conquerors. In the seven churches to Asia, him that overcometh, the Greek word Nike there, meaning victory. Victory is a New Testament theme, but we have to exercise our faith. We have to be obedient to be on the winning side. So this morning, I want us to talk a little bit about what I'm going to call victories in conversion. When a person obeys the Lord, there are victories that are won along the way. And we need to be on that winning side. But this morning's lesson is not just about someone who needs to become a Christian, because what we're talking about this morning even applies to us who are Christians every day. These different battles that we're looking at, these different victories that we're looking at, all of them with the exception of baptism, is repeated every day. So the lesson is for all of us. We're going to talk about hearing and repenting and confessing. We still need to do that as a Christian. It's not just for someone who needs to become a Christian. We do all of those things. We don't repeat baptism, but all the other things are repeated on a daily basis. And so hopefully this lesson this morning is for all of us. Do you want to be a winner or a loser? And at the end of the service, are you going to be the winner or is the devil going to win? We're all going to walk out of this building in just a minute, either winners or losers. And we can walk out unchanged and let the devil win, or we can walk out changed where we're victorious. The decision will be yours. The decision will be mine. Let's begin with what God wants us to hear. He wants us to hear His gospel. He wants us to hear the good news. He wants us to open our Bible and hear the good news about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He wants us to hear that. And when we hear that and we obey that, that is a victory that is gained. And it's a victory over ignorance. The devil just wants us to stay ignorant and not know anything about the truth. He wants us to have a prejudiced attitude toward the truth. Oh, I don't want that. I've already got my mind made up. Some people go on superstition and what they've heard and what they've felt and things like that. Some people just go on tradition. This was the way I was raised and I'm happy with that. But when you say no to all of that and you hear the truth and you obey it, you've won. You've beat the devil. You've gained a victory over him. You see, hearing God's word gives us the truth. It tells us what to do to be right with God. When we hear the gospel, and we should have a strong desire to hear that word. Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. 1 Samuel 3:9. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, they were those in Berea were more noble in that with readiness of mind they received the scriptures. They had an open mind and they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Hebrews 12, verse 25. Refuse not him that speaketh. When we hear the gospel and we hear the good news of God's gospel, we have just won a victory over the devil. He wants us to be in the dark, but we've come to the light of truth. And that's true for those of us who have been Christians. We have to keep hearing. There are some members of the church that have closed their ears. They don't want to hear truth anymore. So it's still for us today. It's a battle that is still being waged today. You see, Satan wins when he can get you to just not listen. I'm not going to listen to the preacher this morning. I've got my mind on other things. I'm already thinking about what I'm going to be doing this afternoon. I'm not paying attention, you know. Turn over to Acts chapter 7 and verse 57. Do you remember what was happening when Stephen was preaching there? When Stephen was preaching the truth of the gospel there in Jerusalem, and he was preaching to some Jews, it says that they stopped their ears, and they rushed upon him with one accord, and they stoned him. But they stopped their ears. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear it, preacher. Well, the devil just won. So whenever we stop our ears, whenever we say no, then the devil wins. But whenever we're open to truth and it's coming straight from the scripture and we listen to it, then we've won. And it's a victory. Some hear, but they don't really hear because their hearts don't want to receive the message. And Jesus talks in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 about those who are dull of hearing and they're hardened of heart. They don't want that truth. So, in Revelation 2 and verse 7, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. We have to hear what that gospel is. And when we hear it, and we believe it, and we obey it, we win a victory. That's why it's so important for us to preach God's word. That's why it's so important for us to hear God's word. It leads to salvation. When Peter went to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he said, we are all here present to hear those things that are commanded of God. We don't want the devil to win and keep us losing with that ignorance and that prejudice and that superstition and, well, what I was taught with my pastor and what the reverend used to say. We have to be hearing truth and coming to truth. One thing that we need to consider from the standpoint of those of us who are members of the Lord's body, we need to think about the idea of talking with our neighbor about the gospel, because from that standpoint, when we don't say anything to them, we're really helping the devil to win. When we don't talk to our children about the gospel, when we don't talk to our coworkers and friends and neighbors, we're really helping Satan to win. When we don't help others see the truth and the light of the gospel. So let's be mindful of that as we have opportunities. There's all kinds of open doors. We're a part of different groups. We're a part of different organizations and different types of things where we mix and mingle with people, co-workers, neighbors. And when we don't say anything, we're really helping the devil to win. So let's do what we can to talk with others about the gospel and where they can hear that message just like it was presented to us at one time. One more passage and then we'll move on. Turn to Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. Hearing the gospel is the first step that we take in becoming a child of God. And so Peter talks about how that during his preaching ministry, Acts 15 verse 7, God made choice among you that by my mouth, look at it, the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's where it all begins. Hearing the word of the gospel. And when we do that, and we stand up and we walk forward and we obey, and then as a Christian, we are always open to hearing God's word, it's a victory every time. But here's a second victory. And that is when we take that message that we've heard, and then we have the faith and the belief to act upon it. Satan doesn't care if you hear the word as long as you don't do anything with it. Well, I'm just going to sit here and not do anything with it. There's another battle that's going to be waged after I hear. And the second battle can be a victory to you and me when we stand up and we act upon what we've heard. And when we do that, it will be a victory over doubt. Well, should I do anything or not? And then people are skeptical. Well, is this really God's word or not? And some just outright mock it. There's no way I'm going to have anything to do with that stupid Bible. And then some people say, well, I just don't believe it. But when we get up and we have an active faith, then it's a victory over these things, and the devil loses. So, let's consider the matter of faith or belief. It's actually a victory over the devil. You see, faith is a solid conviction that what we hear from God's word is true. It's the very word of God. And we take a stand on what is true. This is true, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to act upon it. It's not just the words of men. It's not just what the preacher is saying. It's the very word of God. And when he tells me and asks me and encourages me to do something, I'm going to get up and do that. In John chapter 6 and verse 29, it's called a work of God. He wants you to do that. But when we don't get up and act, then the devil wins and we lose. The scripture talks about dead faith. The scripture talks about weak faith. The scripture talks about a faith that won't work. And when that's what's in our life, then the devil wins. Do we get up each day and act upon what we hear? Satan wins if he can get you to remain in unbelief after you hear. He doesn't care if you hear. He doesn't care if I hear, as long as we don't do anything. So there's another battle that's waging in us. And we have to decide who's going to win or not. Are we going to get up and act upon what we hear? In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 and following, Paul talks about how that Satan has blinded the hearts of the unbelieving. And if he can get us to remain ignorant, if he can get us not to hear and not to know the truth, then he wins. But when we hear this morning, and we hear what we're supposed to do to become a Christian, and we hear what we're supposed to do to live faithfully as a Christian, and then we get up and we act upon that, then the devil loses. That's why it's important to get up and act. And get up and show our belief and show our faith. It leads to salvation. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. We must believe that He's the divine Son of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. But look at it. Turn with me to Romans 1 and verse 16. It's not just the power of God to salvation. God has done His powerful part in giving us a gospel. But read the rest of the verse. The gospel is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We got to get up and act upon it. Some have pointed out that the Greek word for power there is dunamis, and we get our English word dynamite from that. Well, dynamite is very powerful, but it's not going to do anything just sitting there. You got to go over and light it. And so God's gospel is powerful. But you have to ignite it in your life, and you have to apply it. In Acts 16 and verse 31, when the jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "To believe on the Lord Jesus." And it's not just a faith only, not just a mental assent. A lot of preachers and denominations teach that. But if you turn over to Acts chapter 16, when Paul told him to believe on the Lord Jesus, look at what happened. It wasn't just some mental assent. Verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus, and they spake the word unto him. And then look at verse 33. He's showing that he believed on the Lord Jesus. He took them, verb, action, and washed their stripes and was baptized. That's showing that he believed on the Lord Jesus, because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Belief is something that leads to an act of being baptized. And that's why it's important. That's why it's an important victory in this whole process of conversion. Think of it as a large war with small battles that must be won. We won World War II because we won the small battles different places around the globe. Ultimately, we were victorious over those rulers who were exploiting their people and using their power for improper use, Hitler and others. But it took little small battles here and there to win the ultimate war. And the big war is between us and the devil, but we have to win these little battles along the way to get the whole war. We have to win that battle for hearing. We have to win that battle for believing and for faith. And so this morning, will we get up and act? Will we take a stand on what we know to be true? Or will we just sit there and just do the same thing that we've always done? Who's going to win that battle this morning? And then we know from God's Word that we need to repent of our sins. We violated God's Word. That's what sin is. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It's a violation of God's Word, 1 John 3, 4. So when we do something that God doesn't want us to do, we sin. We've got to stop that. We can't just keep living in that. We live in a world today that says, well, just keep doing what you're doing. No big deal. Keep living in the lifestyle that you're in. Keep doing what you're doing. But when we repent, the word repent means to change or to turn around, to stop. When we do that, look at it, it's a victory over some things. You know, when we sin, the devil says, well, just be so proud that don't change. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. I can live any way I want. Dress any way I want. Talk any way I want. Act any way I want. You know, if I want to fornicate and do that, my parents are not going to tell me what to do. Preacher's not going to tell me what to do. Friends are not going to tell me what to do. That's pride. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. He's won. Or just outright rebellion or stubbornness. I'm not going to listen to what the Scripture says. Friday night, we went up to Bowling Green to hear Andy Alexander preach, and he had a great lesson reviewing this young lady down at the 4th Street Church of Christ in Nashville who's become their female preacher. And she's a recent graduate of Lipscomb. And she had some comments that... by the way, Lipscomb was seeking a female intern to fill a preaching track. Lipscomb wanted females to go on a preaching track. And they're wanting that now. They're looking for that. That's how far gone they are. But she had some quotes to the effect that it doesn't matter what the Scripture says about women keeping silent in the church. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. There is a trend out there among younger so-called Christians of this attitude of, I have a gift and I'm going to use it and I don't care what Paul says. Well, that's one of many, many examples that we could give. And it could be in our life right now, even as a Christian, when we commit a sin and we have this attitude, well, it's not all that bad, then the devil's just won. But when we stop that and turn our back on that, then we have won a victory. And whether it's pride or rebellion or stubbornness or just plain old indifference, I don't care. We're saying now, no, I'm stopping this. I'm stopping this. And I've just won a victory over the devil. Repentance is a change of mind. I'm not going to do this anymore. And it leads to a change of life where I stop doing those things. Jesus talks about that in the parable of the two sons. One said, I'm not going to go into the vineyard and work. And then he changed his mind and went. And in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son stopped that living and came back. That's what repentance is. So whatever it was that got us into the sin in the first place, we're going to stop that. We're not going to keep engaging in that. And that's what repentance is. And you can see, even as a Christian, we need to be thinking about these things. When a Christian sins, and you know what it is, I know what it is, whatever your temptation is, whatever mine is, when we engage in that, we need to stop that. If we don't, then the devil wins and we lose. But there's another little battle that has to be won, and it's called the battle of repentance. And who's going to win that battle? And we can stop that, and we can repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Satan wins if he can get you just to feel comfortable. Just feel comfortable in the life that you're in. Just feel comfortable with what you're doing. Don't do anything. Don't make any changes. And he wins if he gets us to refuse to admit wrong. Or, if we're not careful as children of God, we know that the Bible says it's wrong, but we justify it. Well, I'm different, and my situation was different, and it was not all that bad that I did that. Whatever those games that are played, the devil wins. But when we just outright say, I was wrong. And when Nathan approached David about his sin of adultery, I'm wrong, David said. Then we win. But if the devil can get us to not admit wrong, there are passages in the Old Testament where God's people acted like, well, it's not all that bad. We have to repent. Jesus said in Luke 13, 3 through 5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And when John the Baptist came preaching, he came preaching repentance unto remission of sins. It's absolutely necessary that we stop what we're doing. And when we do, we are victorious. And it's important because just like hearing and believing, repentance leads to salvation. When the people on the day of Pentecost asked Peter, what must I do? He said, repent and be baptized. There are a number of passages that teach the same thing. We've got to stop. But we need to be willing to stand up and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Con with, and to make a confession, literally to speak with. And this is becoming harder and harder, I believe, for our younger generation because we're worried about our peers and what they might think and what they might say. You need to be willing to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And when we do that, we have gained a victory over this timidity or just being scared and fearful and shame. And cowardice. I'm scared. No, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as a child of God, we have to do that every day. It's not just a one-time thing where you step forward and say it in front of a group of people and then you never say it again the rest of your life. We're supposed to say it every day in the way we live and what we stand for. We make a confession. The other thing that's going on today is this matter of tolerance. Everything's fine. All religions are fine. Allah's the same as God and Buddha and Vishnu and all these gods out there. It's all the same. No, it's not. There's only one God and Father of all. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There's one Lord. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. And as young people, when we get a little bit older, we're getting out with others. Are we confessing? If we're not, then the devil's winning. If we are, then we're winning. Confession literally means to speak with, con with, to speak with. When Jesus speaks the truth, we're going to stand with him as one of his followers, and we're going to say the same thing, whether it's at work or school or anywhere else. And if we're not willing to do that, turn to Matthew 10, 32 and 33. If we will not confess him, he will not confess us. And if we deny him, he's going to deny us. So yes, it's not just something that we do at the front of the church building one time, right before we're baptized. It's an everyday thing. And it's a prerequisite of going to heaven. We have to confess daily and stand for him and be on his side. We're not bragging. We're not being haughty. We're not being arrogant. We're saying, this is the truth, and I stand with Jesus on this truth. That's becoming harder and harder to do today because people just want to be tolerant of all things and let everything slide. You see, the devil wins if he can keep you quiet. Don't say anything. Don't take a stand. Don't show your conviction. And you remember the parents of the man born blind? They knew Jesus healed their son. But the text says in John 18, 23 that they wouldn't confess it lest they would be cast out of the synagogue. Oh, we're going to lose our status with our friends, so we're going to keep our mouth shut. And that's what goes on today. You may have some friends that might not like it if you come forward and obey the gospel the right way. But so be it. Put Jesus before your friends and family and others. But that's what we won't do.
I'm not going to do it. Because what would my parents say or my grandparents or my friends? Well, you just lost the battle. The devil got you exactly where he wants you.
What will my friends think? What will my family say? And on and on and on. Do you know that in Revelation 21 and verse 8, one of the persons in hell, look at it again. Well, hell, that's for those dirty, rotten scoundrels, right? Those just terrible people, right? Yes, but read Revelation 21, 8. It says, the unbelieving and the cowardly. The cowardly, yeah. Someone who just won't stand for truth. They end up in hell too. Along with all the murderers and all the other people. We can just be what I might call simply cowards, where we just won't stand for something, won't have some spiritual backbone. You see, here's a battle. And who's going to win, the devil or us? It's important to confess. Paul said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that we confess with our mouth unto salvation. It's extremely important. And yes, we say that right before we're baptized, but it's a daily thing thereafter. Just like repentance is, and hearing is, and faith is. These are not just one-time things that you do when you walk down front, just some one-time things. It's all throughout our life, brethren. So it's for us too. And there are a number of passages that talk about making the good confession and having conviction. Are you going to do that this morning? Am I going to do that? Or is the devil going to win and he just keeps us quiet? Baptism. Baptism is a victory and it's a battle. We're being told today by many religious groups that baptism is not necessary for salvation. When it's everywhere in the New Testament, it just boggles my mind. It's everywhere in the New Testament as a condition of salvation. Jesus said it himself, and yet we have many men standing up and say, well, you don't need to do that. And when we're baptized, when we're immersed in water, like we have here behind this curtain, we're immersed in water and we wash away our sins, we just won a battle. Well, I don't know if I want to do that, preacher. Well, then the devil has won. And when we're baptized into Christ, it's a victory over human wisdom. Because human wisdom says, well, I don't think I need to do that. And there are just flat out false doctrines that say you don't need to do that. But when I'm baptized scripturally, then I'm victorious over that. Baptism is immersion in water for the remission of sins. It's not to add us to a denomination. It's not to show that we've already been forgiven. It's so that we can be forgiven. Wash away thy sins, Acts 22:16. Ananias told Saul there in Damascus, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Baptism doth now save you, 1 Peter 3:21. And yet, denominational preachers will stand up and say the exact opposite of what Peter said. They say baptism does not save you. And Peter said baptism doth now save you. Are we going to stick with Peter or just our denominational pastor? There's a victory going on. And there's a battle going on. And there's a lot of defeat going on. And you will determine which one is which. You see, Satan wins if he can get you to think, well, I don't need to be baptized. That reminds me of Naaman in 2 Kings 5. If you turn there, you remember the story of Naaman the leper. And when the prophet comes to him and says, dip 7 times in the Jordan, he says, oh, I don't need to do that. Yes, you do. If you want to become clean and have your leprosy gone, you do. And when he finally came to his senses and did that, it says that he came up out of that Jordan and his skin was just white and clean. The leprosy was gone. Satan wins if he can get us to change something about baptism. Some people want to change the mode of baptism rather than immersion all the way under. They just sprinkle a little water or pour a little water on them. Or some change, like, let's baptize infants, where there's none of that in Scripture. Or the purpose. Baptism is not to wash away your sins. It's to join a church. It's to join a denomination. Our Baptist friends do that. You're saved at the point of faith, but later, if you want to join a particular Baptist church, you're baptized to join that particular Baptist church. There's none of that in Scripture. And I'm not singling them out. There are other denominational errors along these kinds of things. It doesn't match the Scripture. Well, that right there just turned me... You just turned me off, preacher, right there. You just turned me off. Okay, back to that first point. I just read the Scripture. Now, will you hear it or not? It's a little battle being waged right now in your mind. There's a little battle going on right now. A little battle going on. Ooh, what's it going to be? Win or lose? Victory, defeat? What's it going to be? You see? It happens all the time. These little battles go on. I would suspect that they go on during a lot of sermons, a lot of Wednesday night talks. We're just internally. Our spouse brings something to our attention. Our parents bring something to our attention. And it's from the Word of God. Little battle going on. Who's going to win? We just need to do what God says. And tell the devil, that's it. I've had enough of that. And I'm going to be victorious and just do what the Scripture says. When we're baptized scripturally, we're victorious over sin and Satan. And Paul says in Colossians 1:13 that we're translated out of the power of darkness and into the Son of the kingdom. And so it's a battle, and we have to make a decision. And then last of all, when we engage in faithful living, when we come up out of the waters of baptism, and if you need to do those things this morning, we're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. What do we need to do? Is that the end of it? No. Faithful living. Baptism is not the end of the process. It's just the beginning where we live faithfully. And the devil's going to try to throw things at us. He's going to try to throw those obstacles and those hindrances and those pitfalls. And each day when the temptation comes up, we don't give into it. And each day that our attendance here at the services and faithful, godly living, each of those things that comes up throughout the day and throughout the week, we're victorious over that. We're not going to let him throw an obstacle or a hindrance. And so faithful living is required of every Christian. And baptism is not the end. It's the beginning of our spiritual journey. It's like the wilderness wandering of the Israelites after they crossed the Red Sea. Then they had the wilderness wandering, and then they went into Canaan land. And we have our Red Sea crossing. It's baptism. That's where we leave that bondage of Egypt. That's where we leave that bondage of sin. But now we've got the wilderness wandering, and we've got to be faithful so that we can enter into that promised land. Faithful living. You see, the devil tries to keep us out of the church, but if he can't keep us out of the Lord's church, then he's just going to try to make us unfaithful in the church. So we have to be faithful. And he might throw different things. Paul talks about temptation and sin. He might throw that at our way. It might be some false doctrine. It might be fleshly desires. It might be immaturity. It might be persecution. It might be a host of things that he's going to throw our way. But each one of those things that he throws at us, we're going to be victorious over that. The devil doesn't care if you hear, get up and believe and act upon your faith, repent, turn your back, stand up and confess before others, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and baptize for the remission of my sins. He doesn't care about any of that. As long as you fall away later, he's still got you where he wants you. And we read about that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, about how there have been those who have escaped the defilements of the world, and they've come to a knowledge of the truth, and then the last state is worse than the first because they just go right back and fall away like a dog returning to his vomit and a sow after washing to wallowing in the mire. So we've got to remain faithful each day. And I would encourage you to do that. Well, for the unconverted and the person who doesn't exercise his faith, life is a defeat. We're going to sing a song of encouragement right now. Either Satan wins and you lose, Or you win and Satan loses. You've got to make the choice. I've got to make the choice. These little battles. And the scripture says that we can be victorious, but we have to obey God's word. You've heard the plan of salvation this morning. You have an opportunity to act upon it. You've heard that not only is that plan of salvation sort of one time, but it's repeated. As Christians here this morning, we have to continue doing those things, all of those except baptism. Who's winning the battle for your soul and your heart and your mind this morning? Who's winning the battle of maybe a spouse or family member? Is there someone we need to talk to help them to win that battle? It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. That's why we need to take it seriously. We need to take it seriously. We need to take our Christianity seriously. We need to take being here in this auditorium seriously. The faithful Christian is a life of victory. I asked Mason if he would lead. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's a beautiful thing. Being victorious. Think about the feeling of winning. Right after a game, you know, you've won the NCAA basketball tournament just recently. You've won something. You think about running around. They're running around and they're happy and they're jumping up and down. Think about the feeling of winning. And that's the feeling in heaven. Revelation 15, verse 2, they came off victorious and they're around the throne with the harps of God. There's this beautiful victory. That's a positive thing. And that's the way we want to end this morning. It's because we exercise our faith and we are obedient. Is there someone here this morning that needs to step forward, repenting of their sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins? If the answer is yes, and you know that answer in your heart, if the answer is yes and you do it, you're victorious. If you don't do it, you're not. And the devil is. So you have that choice. And as a child of God, if we need to come back in some way and let brother know, we need your prayers, I need your help, there are things that I've been doing, and I know I need to do that, and I do it, I'm a winner. If I don't do it, I'm a loser. And the devil wins. The choice is yours. Come as we stand and sing if we can help you to be victorious this morning.